just 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the quarterback for the UNC Bears, Jacob Sermon. We catch up with him every week, conflicting schedules throughout the early portion of the week, but Jacob, on short notice, was able to jump on with us. My man, appreciate you as always. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
How was the bye week? Was it good to just kind of get a little bit of a recharge for you?
Yeah, it was. I think for the whole team and me specifically, it was a time to kind of refocus on areas that I can improve on, and also just kind of appreciate everything that we've been blessed with this season so far, and continue to try to strive and get better every day.
Jacob, was it a good time for you? Like, you always ask some players, some coaches, and sometimes they'll say, yeah, maybe it's the perfect time. Maybe it's not a good time. Obviously, you were having a really great game against Weber State. We know ultimately how that went down there late with the picks and the pressures from that Weber State defense ultimately. Was it a good time, or were you just like, no, I want to get right back out there this weekend?
I think I'm one of the guys that's a little bit more impartial. I think it's a good time as far as middle of the season, you know, guys' bodies start breaking down. We're able to get heavy in the weight room, put on some, eat a lot of good food, kind of refocus on some of the practicing schedules and tempos that you do early in camp. But as the season progresses, you know, you try to take a little bit of that pressure off your body. So in those terms, it's good. And for me, like, I'm always a competitor. I'm going to compete my butt off to the very last second. So there's some frustrations and some areas that I know I can improve on going from last game. But I also got to give a lot of respect to that defense. They made their own fair share of plays and forced errors on our part that I gladly take the blame for. But at the same time, it's a team game, and so there's ways we can all improve to kind of prevent possible situations like that happening in the future.
Well, and Jacob, too, I mean, that's the thing about teams like Weber State. You know, going into that game, they were top 15. So you just know, no matter what, even if they're down two scores, whatever, they're a good enough football team where they're always going to try to find their ways back into it. Do you feel like this team right now, obviously, we're seeing the offense. You and I have talked about this already. The offense compared to where it was last year is really rocking and rolling, really soaring. We had your offensive coordinator, Blair Peterson, on the show yesterday. There's no question that we're seeing growth there. Now comes the how do you close it out? How do you find or maybe learn how to win? Is that kind of maybe where some of the guys are on this roster right now?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of different stages amongst this team on individual development, the way they see and play and react to different circumstances in a game. And so some of our youth at times, I think, can show during those moments. But also I think a lot of maturity and leadership can also show by how we respond, how we can handle and compose ourselves during those types of moments. The first three quarters, for example, were, I'd argue, phenomenal football on the offensive side of the ball. Moving the ball, maintaining possession, scoring, keeping our defense off the field, those are really good and strong indicators of what this team is capable of. And obviously, you know, the game's won in the fourth quarter, so you have to give credit to them. We have to find ways that we can adapt and grow as a offensive, you know, as an entire team, really, and use those lessons to kind of continue to grow the best we can.
Jacob Sermon, quarterback for the UNC Bears, joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Jacob, it doesn't get any easier as you guys turn the page, set to host Sacramento State, top five right now. But, of course, it's exciting. You know, it's the 100th homecoming football game for the UNC Bears. And picking up where you left off on the offensive side, and I know the defensive side was making plays, too, against Weber State. Do you feel like, man, you know what? We're going to go out there. We got ourselves a heck of a shot. I saw Northern Arizona was able to run the ball pretty well against Sacramento State. That game ended up being a shootout. So talk to us a little bit about this Sacramento State team and maybe what we might be able to expect tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I would expect and anticipate a similar attack as we took to Weber State. I mean, they're a quality team. They have great defenders. And Sac State's going to present the same sort of caliber of athletes on the other side of the ball. But I think we have a great plan in place. We're going to be able to be a balanced and attack the run game while also kind of hopefully stretch them out and take precise and dialed shots when their opportunities are presented. And so I'm excited. I think our defense has made leaps and bounds as far as, you know, their overall execution, the confidence that the entire team has in them. I've never been more confident in a unit just as a whole. So I'm really excited to see what they can do this weekend. And so overall, I think there's no doubt that we can hang in there with every single team in this conference. I think there's a lot of faith and confidence in that. But the final step in that progress is finishing these out and start to see, all right, we can hang in there. Not only can we hang in there, we can close them out and take away with the win.
Jacob, how much of a mental thing is that to close it out? Because we always hear it, and I was talking with Blair about it yesterday, just how real of a thing that is. Because you know physically, as you were up 21-7 against Weber State, you know you have the tools to beat, as you said, perhaps anybody in this conference. But how much of that mental aspect really comes in when you're trying to close it out? Because we saw that really for 2 weeks in a row with you guys with some opportunities there. So how much really does it become a mental exercise as far as closing it thing out?
Yeah, I think the mental of the game is the biggest deciding factor as far as separation can go, and it's individual. Like, a lot of times I don't necessarily feel pressure ever in the moment. You know, I might feel pressure before the first play, but as soon as that first snap hits or the first time I get hit, all that washes away, and now I'm just in the moment and relying on my preparation and my training up to that point. But then again, I've also had many years of football under my belt, and so some of these younger guys that are in the lights and in these big moments for the first time, there's a natural learning curve of, okay, how do I personally react? How do I respond to this? And good or bad, how can I use that response to continue to better my game in the future? And I think that's kind of what we're seeing and what we're starting to learn more thoroughly.
Well, on the offensive side, again, just going back to that, talking about what you guys have been able to do, it's got to excite you because we know your ability as a passer. You know, you were 28-42 for 287 yards and 2 touchdowns in that Weber State game. But we know that run game, too, is a nice complement, and you guys can really play off of one another. When you look at Afari and what he's been able to do, I think he's 6th right now in the Big Sky with just under 400 rushing yards and 5th in the conference with average per game. So that's got to excite you when you look at that and say, man, this is that balanced attack that we can really continue to build off of.
Absolutely. And I think they each complement each other. The more I'm able to effectively pass the ball down the field, they'll open up run lanes. And then, you know, when he starts pounding the rock really well, they load the box, giving us one-on-one matches on the outside. There's a lot of complementary and a lot of, you know, congruency there with that balanced attack.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think I know you can't give us game plans. We're a day before the game and everything, but I would imagine we're going to see a little bit of that balanced attack taking hold tomorrow against a very tough Sacramento State team. Jacob, man, we wish you the best of luck. We're rooting for you. Let's go out there and hey, it's the 100th homecoming game too, so it's a really special event this weekend.
Yeah, it is. I'm excited and blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, no doubt about it, my friend. Okay, well, good luck this weekend. We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Jacob Sermon, quarterback for the UNC Bears, going up against the top 5 in Sacramento State. And Sacramento State has kind of had the Bears' number over the years. They hold a 14-2 series advantage over UNC. Sac State has won 5 in a row in the series. UNC hasn't beat Sacramento State since 2016. That was they won 27-19 in Greeley. So, tall task for the UNC Bears. 15 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Is Jerry Jeudy going to be a Denver Bronco much longer? We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
For a short while ago, yeah. Brian
Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was walking by, and Steve called out to him, and he got a different reaction.
I called out to him because on my podcast, Cut to It, I just talked about guys that maybe have not showed up in a way or in a manner. And so the word that I've used to describe him in the past was a jag, just a guy.
Just a guy.
And so when I saw him, he's playing well. I wanted to say to him face-to-face, like, hey, I know I said some things in the past I probably shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say to him. His response, Mike Robb and Bucky, was ninja.
Ninja?
Yes, I'm using the word ninja. I'm just using the word ninja. I don't mess with you. And it was a curse word. And so I was like, all right. And then he repeated it. So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver that you use a first-round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple years since they draft you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you, I will say, no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy, because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier three. Go back into the studio. I'm done now. Thank you.
There's Steve Smith. Steve Smith talking about Jerry Jeudy. Is it Steve Smith Jr. or Senior?
Senior.
It's okay. I was about to say Junior, and I caught myself. Steve Smith Senior. I was always, first off, a big Steve Smith guy. Now, he had a little bit of an attitude, too. He did. But he typically backed it up. Now, here's what I like to see players that are going at the media, and they got stuff to say, and dancing around behind Steve Smith. Like, it was just, the optics looked terrible. Here's what I'd like to see a player do that's, you know, in the negative limelight and all that stuff. I would like to see a great game. That's how you shut him up. That's what I'd like to see. Three receptions for 14 yards, along with, five targets for Jeudy last night. And Steve Smith is right. I don't even know if I'm going to say he's a jag, because just a guy to me is a really good, is a good player. I've said Jamal Murray at times is just a guy. There's other times he's great. He's all-star level. He's MVP caliber. But there's other times he's just a guy. I think just a guy is still a guy that shows up every night. Just a guy to me is KCP. You know, if we're talking Nuggets. Good, solid players. Probably not going to be all-stars or Pro Bowlers, but they're going to be good, solid players for you. I don't even think I'd say Jerry Jeudy is that right now. In his career as a top 10 pick, or whatever he was he 10 or 11? He's 15, sorry. His numbers have not lived up to a first rounder, top 15. He had 1 year where he was close to 1,000 yards, and that was 2022. That was last year, 972 yards. Hasn't done much since. Right now, he's 222 yards through six games. And that is just, again, no touchdowns for him. I think that it's okay if players want to clap back to the media, especially when it's former players really going at guys. That's my only thing I'll say on Steve Smith, is he didn't like it when the media came at him, but a lot of these guys become talking heads, and now they're doing the same things they hated back in the day. That's my only thing. I watch NFL Network all the time, Angel, and so I see Steve Smith. I get up early. I watch his stuff. I don't listen to his podcast, but I watch his stuff. He's all right. He's fine, but I loved him as a wide receiver. Tough as nails kind of guy. So that gives, and I'm not one of those guys like, well, he has a right to talk about him. No, we all do. We're all fans, former players, coaches, whatever. We all have a right to talk about Jerry Jeudy, whether we played the game or not. But Jeudy continues, in my opinion, I'm not even going to say disrespect, because he's flapping back, he's clapping back to the media members. Stop. You don't need to. It's a bad look when you do it, and then you come out with 14 receiving yards. And then you're dancing around him like a little girl, like a little child, schoolgirl, dancing around him. Twa-la-la-la-la, you can't get me. Like, that looked so immature that, yes, I tweeted out his draft stock plummeted. Bunch of people disagreed with me. If I'm a GM watching that garbage, I'm going, there's a guy that lets the media get to him to the point where he's dancing around, not just tweeting. He is now dancing around by himself. Nobody's around him behind Steve Smith. I'm good. Unless I can get him for like a fifth rounder. I don't think they're going to get a first round pick for Jerry Jeudy. The attitude is not, he is proving unstable when it comes to how he handles his social media. And then last night, I feel like that took the cake. When was the last time you saw a very average, if not below average, receiver get this much hype? You want to bring that to your team? The longer Denver waits, the worse this thing's going to get. So when Jeudy said, figure it out, they're trying, bro. They're trying to figure it out. Nobody wants you. You don't back it up on the field. You are constantly tweeting cryptic messages that gets at least the media talking, and I'm sure it gets the locker room talking. And then it takes the... I'm not even mad that Steve Smith said he tried to talk to you, and then you turn him away. It's immature. Silly. You know, be a bigger man. But instead, you take that as an opportunity to dance around him. If you didn't care what Steve Smith had to say, then why are you dancing around him when the cameras are on him? That, to me, was worse. And then he was asked about it at the end of the game, and he didn't want to talk about it. He did a Marshawn Lynch kind of thing. That's the thing, though, Angel. Marshawn Lynch earned that right to do whatever the hell he wanted to do in press conferences. Jeudy hasn't done anything, and he's getting worse as this season progresses. I mean, I know that deep ball that Russell threw to Jerry Jeudy, he ended up getting called. They called the defense for a late hit on Russ. It was going to be tough to catch. But I still look at a Davante Adams and these star receivers that do have legs to stand on when it comes to that kind of thing. I feel like they're going to go down swinging. They're going to make a better attempt at that. I'm over it. And I'm not even the guy anymore, Angel, that's saying, yeah, give him a new environment, he'll be better. I don't think so. Odds are he's going to get traded. Hopefully the Broncos can get something good for it. But odds are he'll get traded, and then he will just disappear into the abyss, and he'll be one of those guys that we say, remember Jerry Jeudy? Oh, yeah. And then that's it. I'm just not seeing it. In a game on Thursday Night Football, the lone NFL game on at that time, and you got Steve Smith, John, at you, and you got Rod Smith, John, at you, and Mark Schlereth going at you, and all these former players, you're going to come out with three receptions for 14 yards. I'm just not seeing it, folks. And he did hurt his draft stock. That absolutely hurt his draft stock. And I don't care if people are like, well, Steve Smith was mouthy with people too. Yeah, but he backed it up. I mean, you talk trash to Steve Smith, you say something bad about Steve Smith, he's going to go off the next day because he was a hard-nosed football player. It's not a good look if you continue to go after former Broncos, former great. Steve Smith was probably in that category of great wide receivers. It's not a good look. And then when the performance to follow that up is three receptions for 14 yards, get out of here. What are you doing? No, I'm done. I'm officially done. Listen, there's McClain texting in about Mims. Mims played his normal snap percentage but did not get a target. Okay, well, I mean, the amount of times that Russell Wilson is actually allowed or does throw down the field, you can see why I'm confused, because you never see receivers on this. You never really see receivers in play for Denver. That's just where it is now. Courtland Sutton had four receptions for 46 yards, and that was a beautiful touchdown catch. I'll give him that. But who's next? Samaje Perine. He's going to lead the Broncos in receiving if he's not careful. Then Judy. Then Jaleel McLaughlin. No other wide receiver had a reception for the Broncos. Greg Dulcich had one catch for 3 yards. He got hurt again. Adam Trautman had one catch for 3 yards. Finally came back after Russell Wilson eluded 465 tackles. That was a good play by Russ. I tweeted out, Russ is trying to cook with lousy ingredients. And then after that, Russ was terrible. So you know what? It's all bad. There's no defending any of them anymore. I like Javonte Williams. That's it. I like him. I like Jaleel McLaughlin, 7 carries for 30 yards. Neat. Justin Simmons is a good player. Really good dude. But I got Zach Allen came up with a key sack late, but too little too late. I got no defense for any of them anymore. They are all bad. This is a bad roster. This is a badly coached team. Or are they? Are they a badly coached team? Are they trying to tank? Are they tanking? How else do you explain a Super Bowl winning coach that you gave up first round picks for and paid through the roof to be your head coach forgets what down it is? That ultimately, who knows how much that affected the game, gift wrapped 3 points for the Chiefs. He came out and said he forgot or he had a brain fart or whatever. Okay. Thought that was what Hackett did. If you're going to do that kind of... This is what Vance Joseph did. This is what Vic Fangio did. And Nathaniel Hackett. You still can't get plays in in a timely manner, it seems like, on a consistent basis. You messed up on the punt. Gave the ball back to Kansas City. Russ doesn't know when or how to throw down the field. I'm so burnt by this team. I'm telling you, man. 32 minutes after the hour. We got basketball right around the corner for all of our favorite teams, man. All of our favorite teams are rolling. Nuggets. Got the UNC Bears. Angel and I had a chance to see them scrimmage each other on Wednesday. CSU has a fun scrimmage coming up this weekend. Their season's right around the corner. Let's see how good Colorado State's going to be. I'll talk to my guy Steve Ivey, better known as the Swole Cracker, via social media. He works with Ram Nation. He's got a written blog. He puts together a great podcast. If there's a guy in the know about CSU basketball, it's going to be this dude. So we're going to talk to Steve coming up next, 33 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Ready to talk some Colorado State Rams basketball. Who better to bring on and talk all things CSU hoops than the Swole Cracker himself, Steve Ivey with Ram Nation. Susan and Cheryl are obsessed with Steve Ivey. Steve, my man, how are you today? Good to have you on, my friend.
Brady, nice to talk to you. Now, am I talking to Brady Hull or am I talking to Mr. Thursday Night? I need to get that clear. Right.
Mr. Thursday Night is back, Steve. I'm glad you caught that, my friend. It's the most influential segment in the history of radio, and we got one last night. So we're feeling pretty good. You know, this not about the Broncos loss, but about the pick.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Hey, turns out I just need the Broncos to play on Thursday night and pick against them, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, too, you know, I was thinking, you know, I like to think I do reasonable work, but if I did 3 tweets and only got 14 likes, I wouldn't be very good, would I?
No, and I'm one of those likes, too, Steve, by the way. I love your stuff.
Well, great. Let's talk.
All right, let's look at it. This CSU basketball team, Steve. You've been. You're a diehard. I mean, you love. I've watched games with you. You love basketball. You are the guy that you go to a game with that knows every official reffing the basketball game. That's how big of a basketball guy you are.
Yeah, I do love the game. I've loved college basketball since I was a kid. And since I've moved to Fort Collins, I've been lucky enough to get involved and get close to the CSU program. I've been fortunate enough to have so many great coaches, the latest of which is Nico Medved, who is just a tremendous guy in terms of running a program and reaching out to people. And, you know, I get to spend a lot of time with not just the coaches, but with the players. And I get to go to open practices. And I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun to be involved like that with something that I'm so passionate about.
Well, that coaching staff, they're fun, you know, and they're not just talented. They're good guys that you really, it's easy to root for. It's easy to cover this group because when you have guys that are so willing to say, hey, yeah, absolutely, anything you need, it makes the job just a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I can send a text and, hey, when's a good day to come watch practice? And I'll get come such and such a day where most likely we'll be scrimmaging as opposed to such and such. And it's it's really nice because they set things up for me, come over, talk to me. You know, I get to meet a lot of people at practices too. So it's always a great educational experience for me to just to go to practice. So, and I attribute that to the way the staff, the way they run their program.
Well, Steve, what can you tell us? What are we actually allowed to know about the scrimmage tomorrow? I always love this time of year. Some programs promote their scrimmages. Others are like, it's a secret. Nobody should know that we are even thinking about basketball right now. But this one's pretty out in the open for Rams fans.
Oh, this is out in the open and a desire to get as many people as possible into Moby. You know, tomorrow's a homecoming football game against Boise State. I know you've been talking to a lot of people about that this week, but the scrimmage is scheduled for 3:30 tomorrow afternoon in Moby. Plenty of time to go watch an hour of the basketball team and then get to your tailgating and then get to the football game. And it'll be an unveiling of not just an introduction of the players, of which are quite a few new ones, but they'll get after it. They'll get after each other for a good period of time. Back and forth, you know, they'll split up and you'll see them go at it pretty good. It'll be a fun experience just to get out there and see them play against each other.
Number one question, I think, on everybody's mind when you look at, some new faces, some old faces moved on, different schools, they were just done. For number one question, Steve, is who's the starting five for Colorado State? And as we're talking here, and this is serious, Steve, I'm just going to make a prediction for you, something you can know, okay? Isaiah Stevens, I'm just going to put my vote in, should start this season.
Yeah, I got a feeling he's a pretty good lock, given that he's started every game he's ever played for CSU.
And he owns, like, all the records, and yeah.
Yeah, voted the Mountain West Conference preseason player of the year. I'm going to guess. You know, when I talked to Nico about how he might divide the minutes, he goes, well, I don't have to worry. I got one guy that can go 40 minutes.
That's a nice problem to have.
In terms of the starting lineup, Zay is obviously, he's a lock. I think there's two other players who are locks with the starting five, Brady. Patrick Cartier, who plays the five, 6'8", 225-pound player, came here last year from D2 Hillsdale College. Averaged about 12 a game, really came on and improved over the course of the year. He's a great finisher around the basket, can also shoot 40% on his three-pointers. I think he's a lock. And then also a transfer, Joel Scott, who came after 4 years at Black Hills State, where he was the all-time leading scorer. I think he ran up about 2,400 points at Black Hills State. Division II College Player of the Year, averaging 23 points and 10 rebounds last year. He'll play the four, and he's a 6'7", 225, very strong, very good athlete, can score inside and out, and a very, very, very stout defender. So he'll add a lot to that four position. CSU was undersized there last year after they lost Roddy the year before and had to play John Tanjay there, who, bless his heart, tried to play as a four but was really more of a 2-3 size guard. So those are the three that I see as locks. And then I think you've got three players going for two spots. Jalen Lake, who's a third-year player returning, who got a lot of starts last year, 6'4", 200-pound sharpshooter and great perimeter defender. Josiah Strong, who transferred here last year from Illinois State, and he was a 12-point a game scorer at Illinois State, and shot over 40% on his threes and made about 85 of them in a season. So he's a real sharpshooter as well, and also a good stout defender. And then Neek Clifford, who's a fourth-year player, first year at CSU after transferring from CU, very, very, very good athlete, and 6'6", 200 pounds, long, athletic. I've seen him make some plays in practice that you don't ordinarily see CSU guys make in practice. So those are, you'll see two of the last three, depending on whether they want to play a little smaller or a little bigger. You'll see Clifford with either a Strong or a Lake, or you might see Strong and Lake together. But those are the five that I think we're going to see, five of those six. Those will be the top six for sure.
Do you think that there's going to be different nights, though, different combinations, where maybe we say, okay, it's Lake and Josiah Strong in there, but then, you know, on a random night against a different matchup, you might mix and match a little bit, and maybe we're not set in stone with two and three positions there for the Rams?
Yeah, I think that's 100%, Brady. You know, and I've talked to Nico about that. You know, there's a lot of teams that'll play maybe a third guard and two forwards. On those nights, they might choose to go a little smaller with Strong and Lake. And then against teams that might start a little bigger lineup, you can see Clifford easily slotting in there. And then the other thing I think we might see a little bit of is some small ball, where you might see Cartier come out as the five. You might see Joel Scott move in at the five, and then you might see Stevens, Lake, Strong, and Clifford on the court at the same time with Scott. You just don't know. Nico likes small lineups, but I think that's a strong possibility too, where you might see Nick Clifford at maybe even the four position, just because he's so athletic.
Steve, talk to us about Nick Clifford a little bit. He, you know, with the Buffs, he didn't start off hot by any means, but it did seem like toward the end of the season, Neek Clifford was getting better. His numbers were going up. He just looked a little more confident. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I actually, if you look at it, I think he actually had a little stronger sophomore year than he did a junior year.
Yeah.
He fell off a little bit last year. CSU tried to recruit him out of high school. He's a top 100 high school player, one of the top small forwards coming out of high school. He was ranked about 100th, and he's a very, very good athlete, and he's got good offensive skills as and defensive skills, and he's a very good rebounder for his size too. The one thing that you know, if you look at the system he played in at CU, and Tad Boyle's a great coach, but his system has a lead guard, KJ Simpson, that's very much a shoot first point guard, not a pass first guy. And Neek suffered a little bit playing with a system with a guard like that, and then a lot of the offense went through Da Silva, who's a very, very good power forward. And I think that Neek coming over to CSU, we'll see a chance with an Isaiah Stevens being such a great ball distributor and a guy who really runs an offense and knows how to get the ball to guys in the spots where they can make shots. I think you'll see there's a really strong chance Neek's offense will really be unlocked, and I think he'll come on this year for the Rams.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. Obviously, we know about Isaiah Stevens, Patrick Cartier, and those guys there. But, you know, a guy had a chance to talk to everybody, it seemed like, on Monday at their golf event at Harmony Club. But Joel Scott, as good of a player he is, man, he just has a head on his shoulders, dude. He was such an easy interview, great guy to talk to. That's a dude worth getting to know for sure.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys. I mean, you're talking a lot of skill. I don't care what level you're at. If you can score 23 and 10 over the course of a season when you're the number one, you know, the opponent is, you're the number one person in the scout and you still average 23 and 10, you're a talented person. But on top of that, as you mentioned, really good guy and a perfect fit for this team, because he'll do what it takes to win. He's not going to score 23 a game over the course of a season in the Mountain West, but he'll add points, he'll add rebounds, he'll add grit. He's a 94-foot player, Brady, and he will do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, his team made it all the way to the Black Hills State, made it all the way to the semifinals of the Division II playoffs last year. So you're talking about a guy that has led a team pretty far in terms of tournament play as well.
Steve Ivey talking to us, puts together a wonderful blog. I know you're working on your podcast, too. I had a chance to listen to that. Man, I feel like a scientist after listening to it because you are breaking in to so many deep thoughts on Colorado State basketball. I absolutely love it. Folks can find all that at Ram Nation. I keep up that podcast, Steve. I know you got the written word, too. I love both sides of it, but, man, it makes for some good listening if you really want to dive in deeply to Colorado State.
Brady, thank you very much. That's my first attempt, and you know, compared to the stuff that you put out, your major league, I feel like I'm a Class A rookie league kind of guy. But you know, you got to start somewhere and work your way up.
No, I would disagree with that 100%. I think you have a great flow. It's a friendly flow, and then as you get into it, it's like, bam, here it comes. We want it, and that's the stuff people want to know. So you just keep up the great work, man. It's an honor to get you on the program, and let's go watch a basketball game together soon. I thoroughly enjoyed myself last time out.
Well, the good news is we'll get to see each other pretty early with UNC hosting CSU on Tuesday night, November 14th, so we're not too far away from that. I already got my tickets to the game. I don't know if my wife will give up her seat next to me. I'll bring in the Moby for a game for sure. We'll have some fun at Moby at some point this year.
You brought up the major league reference. I'm in the bullpen waiting. If your wife can't go, bring me out. I'll walk in and we'll make a go of it, my friend.
You bet.
Steve, have a great weekend. I'll be floating around at some point. I'm not sure what time I'm going to get out there, so I'm not sure if I'll make the scrimmage or not, but I will be watching some football, and maybe the Rams do something they've never done before, and they take down the Boise State Broncos.
Yeah, that would be something. I could tell stories of being on the sideline back when Kellen Moore played for Boise State and watching a 63-21 game or something like that. And to be honest with you, Boise could have put up 100 that night.
Wow, let's hope this defense can make a quick improve, and we don't see anything like that tomorrow night, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, Boise isn't the Boise of past. They're still good, and I'm looking for the Rams to spring an upset. I really am. So fingers crossed on that, but I'm sure looking forward to the scrimmage as well. Hopefully I'll see a lot of people out there.
I'll be curious to get your thoughts after the scrimmage too. Steve, my man, appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Brady, as always, it's my pleasure to spend time with you. You're fantastic. Keep up the great work. Still the best talk radio show in the state of Colorado, and I'm a regular listener. I look forward to what you got coming.
I'll make that check out to Steve Ivey then. All right, my friend. Thank you for the paid advertisement. I love it. Appreciate you, man. It's an honor to get you on. We'll see you soon, okay?
You bet. Bye, Brady.
Steve's such a good dude. He's always promoting us, and I'm listening to his podcast, and I'm like, crap, dude, you're coming for my job. Seriously, great work from him. I love Ram Nation. I love what Joel does. I love what Mike, the whole crew over there. But if you want CSU basketball stuff, you want Steve.
You have to get him down here for the UNC CSU game.
He'll be here. He's one of those guys. If there's a basketball game on, you and I could be playing one-on-one, and he's like, get my notepad out and break this down. Yeah, he would be into it. 12:52, quick break coming up. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up next. We'll have plenty more to discuss on the Broncos-Chiefs game from last night. And I want to get into the most interesting game of the week for me is Air Force in Wyoming. I'm going to be bringing on Ethan Bird. He's a weekend sports anchor and reporter for KGWN-TV. Covering all things Wyoming. So I'm excited to bring him on, talk Wyoming and Air Force. That matchup is going to be huge. I want to get into CU tonight against Stanford. Will they get two wins in a row after losing two in a row? So we'll find out. Maybe so. They are 11.5-point favorites.
Primetime doesn't like primetime.
What channel is that on?
ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Should have known that. But yeah, well, I figured out when the time comes, you're ready to go. They should They should have a good showing tonight. 11.5, though? Yeesh. That's
Friday
a lot.
Night, 13th, and weird
Friday
stuff happens.
The 13th, it's wild. So we'll get into that coming up on the other side and take a look at CSU and Boise State as well. Who should they look out for? You got two quarterbacks there for the Broncos. Can BFN bounce back after a rough performance against Utah State last week? All that and more. Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up next.